Coopticast.com presents the Coopticast.
Wow, that was some killer intro music there for the first ever Coopticast.
I know, it was totally amazing. My socks are literally blown off my feet.
I actually hope that we have intro music for the first ever Coopticast, but we'll have to see.
I'm sure GarageBand has some kind of stock music that we can shove in there for the time being.
That sounds good. So welcome, folks, to the first ever Coopticast. This is the official podcast of Cooptimist.com. I am Nick Paleo, otherwise known as BA Penguin.
And I am Mike Katsoufrakis, otherwise known as Farianoth, or the guy who draws all those funny little pictures.
Yeah, I wanted to let you say your name because I would butcher it. Mike is our artist for the site. He does all those cool little robots, like our unofficial mascot, Billy.
Well, everybody loves Billy.
How can you not love Billy?
Oh, I was going to say, he always looks so sad. It's amazing how many people, love him.
It's because he's the complete opposite of what co-op gaming is about. He's just, he's lonely and he needs a friend.
Or he owns a PS3.
Either or. So what we're going to do here is we're going to try and do a little co-op news and talk a bit about ourselves and the site. And we'll see how this goes. So, up first is what you've been playing. So, what have you been playing, Mike?
Well, as you know, I've been playing a metric ton of Castle Crashers, which I am seriously convinced is probably the best game on the Xbox 360, either arcade or retail. And those are strong words, but my love for old-school beat-em-ups is second to none.
Yeah, it's pretty good, especially, I'm sure you like it because of the art style. It's definitely a gorgeous game.
Yeah, Dan Paladin is one of my personal artist heroes. I've been following his work for a long time, and, Castle Crashers is just like an absolute love letter to his crazy art style and the old school beat-em-ups that I love so much. So that game is pretty much a dream come true for me.
Yeah, and despite what we've seen online with connection issues with people, we had a pretty good session the other night with three of us for a good 2.5 hours we probably played.
Yeah, about that. We had one dropout right when we first tried to start our game, but other than that, it was completely stable. So that bug seems to be either localized or a your mileage may vary situation.
Yeah, definitely. And from what we hear, there is a patch coming. It's been, about 2 weeks now since that's been out already. Wow. So yeah. Hopefully they get that out soon. From what I hear, it's actually out of their hands and in Microsoft's hands, and they're testing it and everything else.
Yeah, title updates sometimes take a couple weeks to get through the hopper, so hopefully they'll have it out soon.
And really, network connectivity isn't the easiest thing to troubleshoot, so I'm sure they're really trying to test it and make sure it's right the first time they do the patch.
There have been some disastrous patches, including the fall update from last year that bricked a bunch of systems.
Yeah, kind of going slightly off topic there, the new Xbox experience that's coming out this fall, that's kind of scary how much it's going to change and the possibility of what can happen with that.
I actually feel that my launch 360's final days are going to be when the new Xbox experience comes out and it just gives up the ghost.
Your Xbox new experience is going to be in a coffin back to the center there for repairs, huh?
My Xbox will learn to fly for the first time. he'll enjoy that cargo hold. But other than Castle Crashers, I've been playing a little bit of Too Human with You, which I am, here and there about. I'm really not sure if I actually like it, but when it's good, I really love it. So we've been, it's been pretty fun. And I've also been playing the Warhammer Online beta, which I'm absolutely in love with. So I'm a lover this week, I guess.
Yeah, like I said, I've been playing some Too Human with You as well as some other folks. And I really like it. Despite a few annoyances on it, I'm really having fun with it. It definitely depends on, I think, the character class you choose. I know a lot of people started with the middle-of-the-road character, and I just think it's kind of boring for people. So if you pick more of one that's specialized, like the Berserker, which is kind of this really fast-paced, godlike character as he flies around the screen real fast, beating up guys. And the other character I have a Commando, which is more of the distance and gunner character. And it's really amazing how different they play in play style, which is kind of good. So I think I have about 25 or 30 hours into the game already between the two characters. And it still doesn't feel very old to me. I'm hooked on trying to get the elite sets for them.
Yeah, you know, you're right about the characters feeling very different from each other. I started with a champion and got really frustrated and bored with it, and I switched to the Berserker, and I've been having a lot more fun. The only thing with the melee classes that I've noticed is that there is a very weird hit detection issue. If an enemy is on a slightly different level than you, you won't hit them when you swing. So if you're running up the stairs and there's a guy standing in front of you, you may not be able to hit him.
So. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It is kind of annoying. It's like it's this new generation game that has a lot of the old generation flaws to it still.
Mm-hmm. How much do you think that the problems with the game stem from them having to rewrite the engine when they had to dump Unreal Engine?
I bet you that's a large chunk of it, because I'm sure it introduced a whole new set of bugs for it, and you know, they just ran out of time, so they had to prioritize, and that was that. I think what they have there is definitely a good base for the future games. It is that old school, you know, that old generation kind of glitches. Like I guess one that I actually haven't had that a lot of people have hit is the whole falling through the floor thing.
No, I haven't had that happen. But, you know, to give them some compliment, you know, the fact that they had to rewrite that engine from scratch and the game still manages to keep that frame rate up is pretty amazing.
Yeah, definitely. So the only other thing I'm playing a bit on and off is Mercenaries 2. And really, I'm only enjoying it in co-op. I kind of get bored pretty quickly with the single player, but the co-op, it just kind of has that whole Crackdown feel to it where the goofy physics of the game just make it completely entertaining. And since it's all about like explosions and things like that, when things explode and fly around and hit your character and stuff, it's definitely an entertaining experience.
So it falls into the pitfall that a lot of the open world games have, where, you know, there's one really fun thing to do in it and they insist on repeating it over and over and over again for the mission structure.
Yeah, you know, really the mission structure is so open that it's you're almost lost at what to do, because, I mean, honestly, the story is really weak. It's on par with what Crackdown's story was, and there's no guidance as to what you can do next. Basically, you get to a point, and they're like, okay, have fun, and Ripley. you literally have to, like, go out and seek out what your mission should be, which is fine, I mean, but like I said, when you get another person in on the action and just going around and blowing stuff up, it's great. That's
actually another game that has an interesting bit of connection to the old generation. I hear the engine for that game was actually built ground up to work on the PlayStation 2 as well. So it's an engine that's scaling from an old generation system all the way up to the current gen ones. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. One of the problems with it, though, and this is actually an article that we posted recently on Co-Optimus, was the lack of split-screen play, because the original version of the game, I believe, did have split-screen, and a lot of people were crying out about that. Same thing with Too Human. It dropped the split-screen option, and there just seems to be a growing trend of, as more and more developers develop online co-op games, they forget about the couch play, the local co-op.
Yeah, you know, local co-op is a wonderful thing, and I'm unhappy that it's been going away, but I have a few ideas as to why it may be happening.
I definitely think it's probably a technical thing, because now instead of rendering one scene on the screen, you're rendering two. You have to scale back the detail that it's rendering to compensate for it. It's that much more playtesting you have to do as well to make sure everything works correctly and stuff like that. So, I mean, I definitely understand the developer's point of view, but at least from the feedback we've gotten on Co-Optimus, a lot of people are upset about it. It turns a must-have game into a wait-and-see kind of a thing.
A thing that I believe it has a lot to do with it is the fact that the user base is split between standard definition and high def televisions, and both of those have different aspect ratios. I don't know if you've noticed, but a four-player game split into four quadrants on a standard def TV gives you, you know, kind of a small square, but it's, you know, it's an even vertically, even horizontally, so you kind of have a complete field of view, whereas on a widescreen television, if it's not done right and you're split into, say, four quadrants, you have a very narrow rectangle to fit into, so you have a lot of horizontal view but not a lot of vertical, and that causes a lot of problems, at least for me, when I'm playing stuff like Halo, where you need to, you know, pop around and be able to see everything around you. So I think what a lot of people are turning, what a lot of developers are turning to, is depending on people's, you know, Xbox Live account or their PlayStation Network account, so they can give the player the whole television and give them a more complete experience. It sounds more like an excuse than anything else to me, but I think I understand where they're coming from.
Did you play Halo 3 split screen at all?
I did, and they and it's like I said, if it depends on what you do with it. Halo 3 worked pretty well, but only if you had an enormous television to look at it on.
Because they offer, I think it was Halo 3, maybe it was Halo 2, where you could actually choose which way to split the screen, whether you wanted it vertical or horizontal, right?
Well, Halo, I believe it was Halo 3, where if you had, say, three players on doing couch play, the top player could have half the screen and the other two would be split below it, or you could put a scoreboard in the fourth window, or a few other things.
Well, it's definitely you know, with things like our co-op couples features, where, you know, it's sitting down with someone else to play on your couch, it's becoming more and more important. It's definitely discerning to see it, the trend kind of going away. So hopefully people start listening and at least attempt to implement it to some degree.
Yeah, I know my wife likes to play games every now and then, and when she saw me playing Castle Crashers, she got really excited because I told her that, you know, if she played with me, we'd both be on the same screen, and, you know, she's not a dyed-in-the-wool gamer, so split-screen stuff is kind of confusing for her, so having the single screen with all the action on it is actually a boon for us.
Yeah, I don't know if my wife would be interested in playing that. We'd have to see. Yeah, she just shot me over a dirty
shot
look.
Shot you a dagger.
Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely got that that old school feel. Nice, bright, colorful graphics and very inviting. So, and speaking of old games, there was something that's coming out soon called Good Old Games. And I know we just posted a story on this today because there's a few classic co-op titles there.
There are. I did a little digging. I got into the preview beta that they just launched this week. And it looks like they're culling the old Interplay and Codemasters libraries of PC games. And while there are definitely a lot of stinkers in that club, there are plenty of great games. And, you know, for example, the co-op titles I dug up were all pretty quality. They've got Descent 3, both free space titles, a Black Isle Diablo clone called Lionheart Legacy of the Crusader, which may or may not suck, but hey, it's co-op and it's there. And coming soon, they've got Operation Flashpoint, which was a, you know, a great tactical shooter that had a good co-op mode. And the last one I dug up is actually kind of special. It's Shattered Steel, which is an old mech game that BioWare made.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And it has the distinction, or so they claim, of being the first game with deformable terrain in it. So you should probably check some of those out. They've done a great job at telling you what limitations there are when they ported them up to XP and Vista. Some of the games have multiplayer modes that are broken or have trouble connecting on anything outside of a LAN, but they're really upfront about it, and they've given workarounds for pretty much everything. But as far as non-co-op stuff, there are a few other titles on there that you may want to check out, especially now. They've got the first two Fallout games, and for those of you who are console players that haven't had the opportunity to play either of those wonderful RPGs, you know, anybody with a beater box of a computer can run these days, and for $5.99 each, that is probably the best $12 or so you'd spend on gaming in out of pretty much everything you can buy. They've got some other old classics. They have both MDK games. They have Giant's Citizen Kabuto, which was a pretty funny old game by Planet Moon, who also did Armed and Dangerous by LucasArts, if you remember that. And a personal favorite of mine that actually made it up there is an old monolith shooter called Shogo Mobile Armor Division, which is basically their love letter to Dominion Tank Police or other old 80s animes with a mech base in it. But as I said, they've gone through, taken all these games, given a little bit of a spit polish, and made them all work on both XP and Vista. So some of these games haven't been able to be run outside of massive amounts of trickery for a long time. You know, it's nice to see them giving a new life to some of these classic titles.
Yeah, I know a few of those. Operation Flashpoint is definitely a personal favorite of mine. I actually never got to play it co-op, but I played that beginning to end, and I don't want to spoil anything, but the last mission of the game is one of the best last missions in any game ever.
Besides the Fallout ones, my favorite title up there is Descent 3, just because, you know, everyone loves getting sick when they rotate around too quickly in a game, and that's the best nauseous time you'll probably have.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I was a big Interplay fan back in the day. Every one of those Interplay titles listed there, I was a big fan of. MDK, I used to love sniping in that game. That was one of those first games that had like the really long sniper rifle and stuff in it. Shogo, back in college, man, we used to play that all the time. My roommate was hooked on the game. I think he played through it like two or three times in like a 2 or 3 week period. He absolutely loved it. So yeah, it's good to see that. I know the folks involved with that. It's actually the folks behind The Witcher, the CD Projekt folks.
Yeah,
they're actually the people that are pushing this and that are working on this. So,
and more power to them, because The Witcher was awesome.
Yeah, I'm really anxious to check out the new version, the one that basically they listened to all the fan feedback and repackaged it and. They're kind of. I think that's actually
the extended edition. I think it comes out late this month, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think it might even be next week. So I'm definitely gonna have to check that out. My PC is gonna be getting some gaming use finally again. There's quite a few titles. I just actually another title I just started playing was Sekiro 2 for a preview. So it's pretty good so far. The graphics are gorgeous. It's a really really pretty game. It reminds me a lot of I don't know. Have you ever played Guild Wars?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the first time you fired up Guild Wars and you got to those like gorgeous fields with like the swaying grass and you know the bright colors and that's kind of like how the first set of areas are in this, and it's really really pretty.
Yeah, I can't wait to get my hands on that one, because I was a pretty big fan of the first game, and as with a lot of small developers on PC, you can get a quality title that may not look like the hottest lady in the room, but it gives you a good time at the end of the night.
Yeah.
And Sacred was a pretty quality title. It was a little too much of a direct Diablo rip for me, but I had a lot of fun with it, so I've been looking forward to this one for a while.
Yeah, I've actually never played the original, so this is kind of a fresh experience for me.
You know, I can give you a copy of the first one if you want to experience the massive graphical upgrade that they're putting on this.
I think I'll be all right.
Okay.
So the last thing we wanted to talk about was a article we posted about the top 5 co-op games for the rest of 2008. I think I counted up, there's about 14 AAA titles coming out from now to the end of the year that have co-op in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of narrowed it down to our top 5. I'll go through the list real quick, and then maybe we can each give it what our actual list is, because this is based on a couple people's feedback, not just either or. So our top 5 was Fable 2, Resistance 2, Number 3 was Rock Band 2. Number 4 was Gears of War 2. And our number 1 title was Left 4 Dead, which I know we both played at PAX.
Oh, Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, we promised to not try and talk too much about it for this this podcast and save it for a later one, because we still got a good, 2 months to that comes out.
Yeah, there's plenty of time to blow the site to the rim with all sorts of coverage for Left 4 Dead, and believe me, it will be worth it.
Yeah, they just announced today that there is going to be a demo for it. They didn't say when, but they did say that there will be a demo soon for it, so that would be awesome.
They could put that PAX demo out, and they'll have me playing that every night until it comes out.
That's actually the level they said it's going to be. So.
Oh, thank people getting to experience shooting the car. Yep. And the subsequent chaos. It'll be gorgeous. So is this your top 5 personally, or are there any changes you want to make to this?
The only one, while I'm looking forward to the Rock Band games and Guitar Hero and stuff, I don't know if it's really in my top 5 anticipated, because it's not really a change so much. It's not like it was last year when Rock Band came out. It was such a new thing. It had the drums and the vocals and stuff. It was, it was a 4-player experience. It wasn't just 2 people with guitars. So that one, that made it really anticipated. This year, it's more just songs and stuff. And yeah, it's going to be cool, but it's not anything great. The only thing I'd probably throw in there would be Little Big Planet. Not sure what it's going to be like in terms of gameplay and stuff with the actual co-op, how you can work together, but I just know it's going to be one of those games that you can sit down with 3 other people and just shoot the shit and screw around and laugh and have a good time and blow, a few hours and not even realize it.
Yeah. The list, the list we came up with is pretty close to what I would have. As much as I loved Fable, I might actually drop Fable 2 off the list, because I tend to want to experience games like that as the single-player version, and then maybe later on come and screw around with the co-op. It's just the RPG head in me. They said they have features to make sure no one can screw up your game, but, I just recorded a co-op session with me and a buddy last night, and we were playing Bionic Commando, and while we were going strong at the beginning, once we started getting frustrated, it ended up being us deathmatching with the rocket launcher, trying to prevent each other from going on. And I get the feeling that Fable 2 would probably end up being the same way. So I might strike that off the list and replace it with Little Big Planet, because I'm looking forward to the multiplayer level editing madness that has to offer. And my other substitution, despite me being a Rock Band fanboy, would be probably to replace Guitar Hero World Tour with that. And I'll say it for one reason, is that Rock Band already proved that it can do the full band game and be amazing. I know that they're going to repeat themselves and it will also be amazing, but Guitar Hero 3, in my eyes, was an enormous misstep in the direction that I wanted to see the series go. And it looks like they're kind of reining it back in and doing some really interesting stuff with World Tour, with the Create a Song and all the other features like that. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that one fares a little more than Rock Band, although anecdotal evidence from PAX will show that Rock Band is now the front runner in that category. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, I mean, the big difference between the two, and Guitar Hero 3 made it very apparent, was that the guys that created Tony Hawk, Neversoft, which picked up the Guitar Hero franchise, at their core are not musicians. The folks at Harmonix, the people that made Rock Band, are musicians. In fact, we were talking with Sean Baptiste, who's one of the producers of Rock Band 2, and he said an interesting quote to me. He said, all of us have bands. We are all musicians first. Rock Band just happens to be like our side project. So you can definitely tell that the games really separate themselves, that Rock Band is more musical at its core, while Guitar Hero is more of like a game. if that makes any sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. As you may or may not know, I actually was a music major in college, and the Harmonix Guitar Hero games and Rock Band felt very intuitive in the way they tracked the notes. Even the ridiculously hard stuff felt natural once you figured out how to play it. Whereas Guitar Hero 3 decided to throw in, you know, the really ridiculously hard to hit three button chords with the gap in the middle.
Yeah.
And people like me with little girly hands can't do that. So there were a lot of weird splits and things that maybe it was more accurate to a, you know, a blistering hair metal guitar soloist, but I felt as far as the fun factor in the game went, it didn't feel right to me, and I really didn't enjoy the timing and a lot of other small things about Guitar Hero 3 that just added up.
Well, I think you know, the other Resistance 2 looks pretty interesting. I'm really anxious about the 8-player co-op.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like they're going to be kind of doing a persistent thing like Call of Duty 4 did with their online mode, except with the co-op, in that you gain experience with your character and you can unlock weapons and abilities and stuff like that, because there's a bunch of classes you can actually play. So that should be pretty good, I think. Gears of War 2.
Mm-hmm.
Gears of War 1 is still, it's like the top-rated co-op game on our site by a long shot. I think there's over like 100, 120 ratings of it, and I think it's like 4.5 stars. I mean, it's definitely way up there.
Well, and Gears was one of the rare examples of a game that was designed with co-op in mind that actually followed through on the promise of an engaging co-op experience. Sometimes when you play co-op games, yeah, you got two players in there, but you're pretty much, you know, kind of screwing with each other, or it just feels like the single-player game, but with another guy with you. But what Gears did was, you know, give that extra little dynamic, like the ability to save your teammate, fighting for cover, being able to, you know, call out positions and things like that. Really, you know, it was awesome. And I'm not really that big a fan of Epic's games. I don't like their art style a lot, and they did a lot of good things with Gears that made me overlook the things that would have normally made me ignore a game like that. And if Gears 2 is more the same, I say bring it on, because I had a ton of fun co-oping through Gears.
Yeah, I think I've actually played through the first Gears like 3 or 4 times just because of the co-op. So I know a few of my buddies that they played through it with. We were all looking forward to playing through Gears 2 again. Mm-hmm. So what else do we miss? Oh, we talked about Left 4 Dead briefly. And
yes.
We're not going to go into it, but it is... definitely something to behold. There wasn't a single person that didn't look like they were having fun playing that game at PAX. Everybody was yelling, screaming, smiling, laughing, and
it
everything
was,
else.
It was the only game that consistently had people not in the line to play it watching.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Guitar Hero and Rock Band had, you know, big lines, and they kind of formed it so people could see the guys on the demo unit playing. Left 4 Dead had two separate lines and two separate demo stations, each with 4 players hooked up. And surrounding the 4 players were just gamers of all shapes and all sizes, all screaming, laughing, cheering anytime someone did something crazy in the game. It was purely visceral gaming at its finest. And out of everything I touched, you know, tasted and smelled at PAX, it was definitely the thing that I'm bringing home as my best memory.
Indeed, yeah. I got to play that at E3 first, and it was like instant. I was like, yep, I need this game. I mean, the first 30 seconds of it, I knew I needed the game. So PAX just reaffirmed that, and now we have to wait to November 20th.
And what's not to like about it? It's got co-op, it's made by Valve, and it's got zombies. That's like a trifecta of greatness.
Yeah. Yeah, the only problem I know that you're having is which platform to pick it up on.
Both, baby. Both.
That's right. That's dedication.
I got a PC core friends that want to play it, and I got my friends on the 360 that want to play it, and I can't choose between them.
It's like choosing between mom and dad. Just can't do it.
Yeah, well, actually, that would depend on who gave you better presents at Christmas.
Good point.
Yeah.
So, I think that's probably about it, wrapping up the first Co-opticast.
Yeah.
I think we're pretty well.
How do you think we did well?
I hope so. We'll find out.
I hope so, too. Yeah.
All right, well, thanks. And
until next time.
Yeah.